Today's reading is from Exodus. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you, Brannick family, for that wonderful message. Happy Mother's Day. It is always a joy to preach on this day. I think all of the female clergy kind of gravitate, and the men kind of let us gravitate to preaching on this day. And so I say Happy Mother's Day to you. We all have mothers, and so we're in this room by the giving of life. And for some, you have become a mother yourself. For others, you are a devoted grandmother, a devoted great-grandmother. Maybe you are a mother by guide or by advising. You bring wisdom to the children in your midst. You may be stepmother. You may be extraordinaire aunt. There are many ways in which we are called to mother. And so I celebrate you. And I know that there are some folks in here who have become a mother for the first time this year. So joy. But then there are others who this may be your first Mother's Day without your mother. And so we know that you have a little pain in your heart, and we cry with you. Here is my mother. This is a picture of my mother. She is still active and very vibrant. My mother grew up in a large family, and so she learned a lot of life skills that she passed along to me. And so I am grateful for her. And she actually lives in Tennessee, and she'll be with me here later on this morning. So before we dive into our two amazing women that we're gonna talk about today, there's a fairy tale riddle. It's called The Magic Mirror. And a troll asked a little boy named John to name the strongest bond in the world. Now John thought and thought, and he said, "Now if my brother the sailor were to answer this riddle, he would say that the strongest bond in the world is the horizon, where the sea meets the sky and gives us our place in the world." But then he thought and he said, "Now if my brother the farmer were to answer this riddle, he would say that the strongest bond in the world is a rainbow, where the sun and the rain join together, where crops can grow." But he thought for a minute and he said, "You know, I guess if I were to say what the strongest bond in the world is, it would have to be love, because not even death can destroy it." Now, if that sounds like an Easter illustration, you're exactly right. It describes God's amazing love for us. That amazing love that is embodied by our mothers our guides, our neighbors, who help form us. So a couple of weeks ago, in Pastor Rob's confirmation sermon, he mentioned a couple of ladies. He mentioned two midwives. He never actually said them by name, but they had a prominent place in his sermon. And those two ladies, who were midwives, their names were Shiphrah and Puah. Here's a little glimpse at an icon of what some say they may look like. And so I'm going to give them a little shout out. They have, in the Old Testament, part of the Bible, they have six verses that they're talked about. A very little shout out for these two women. And of course, we know that the Bible was written to teach us something. So let's start by knowing how we come to meet these two ladies. So Abraham, back in the Old Testament, God invites him to be the father of a nation. And Abraham has a son named Isaac, who then has a son named Jacob, who then has a son named Joseph. And you may know Joseph as the boy who had the multicolored coat and lots of brothers who were really mean to him and who actually sell him alongside the road. And he goes and he lives with Pharaoh. And Joseph works for Pharaoh and becomes very important. He gains a seat of power. And in doing this, he eventually gets to invite his family to come and live in Egypt. So, let's fast forward about 400 years. Pharaoh's dead. New king is in power and doesn't really like all these Israelites that are outnumbering everybody. The king is afraid. So we have a slide of the Hebrew slaves that the Pharaoh begins to increase the pool of labor. And in doing that, he realizes that the Hebrews are growing in number and becomes fearful that they may overtake his power. And so, oppression sets in. You know, when we get afraid, when we begin to live out of fear, it does crazy things to us, right? And so there is oppression written all over this story and this people group. And there are three elements to oppression that are important. Stereotype, when we preconceive or oversimplify a generalization about an entire group of people without regards to their difference. And the stereotyping then leads to prejudice. And a prejudice is a conscious or unconscious negative belief about a whole group of people or its individuals. And when you have this stereotype and this prejudice and there's momentum, you get discrimination. And discrimination takes all kinds of forms: racism, sexism, ableism, ageism. And many acts of discrimination build up over time, oppressing a group of people. So the Pharaoh's actions are based on fear. Now, if you think about your own life, when you're living out of fear, and we all experience this on some level or another, what does fear cause you to do? It may cause you to put people down. It may cause you to overfunction. It may cause you to be absent, or maybe even death of a relationship, or a job, or a confidence. Fear comes because change is happening. And with change comes challenges. So the Pharaoh summons Shipra and Puah, two midwives that could make a difference in his plan. Because the scene is changing, and he has to have some kind of control over the change. So he summons these two women who are midwives, and he gives them a mandate. He gives them a direction. He gives them a directive to, when you see the male babies being birthed, kill them. Now, it is believed that when a woman was on the birthing stone, which is a very, very different than how we give birth today, that they could see what was going to be the sex of the child. And that was their moment of knowing and making a decision of whether or not they would kill the child that was born if it were a male. So these women who have spent all of their life helping give birth to life are being asked by the most powerful man in the world to do something against what they've believed in all their life. So let me stop here and give you an interesting tidbit about this story. God is not talking to anybody in this story. God's not present. God's not hovering. God's not watching. God's not hiding. God is not in this story, except for being in the hearts of Shipra and Puah. That's the only place we see God in this story. And I think that's important. That's important for us to hear and to know. So these women who have helped birth life all of their adult learning years, they're in the business of creating joy. They're in the business of miracles and sustainability. They're in the business of helping God bring about life. And these two women who have God in their hearts, in their life work, they have watched life be born. They have acted when life was being threatened. They stood courageous in the face of danger and death. They continued to make a way for Hebrew women to be together with their children. They creatively assisted God in the most important part of what God brings to us today, and that's giving us life eternal. So if there are times in which you might be asking, where is God in my life? God, where are you? Show me a sign. Put someone in my path that tells me a direction. give me hope, give me encouragement. When you are facing something very difficult or fearful or a challenge or a change, Shipra and Puah are good examples of how God remains faithful in our hearts. You know, it takes courage to live into faith, and it takes faith to live into courage. There have been times in my mothering that it has been imperative I be courageous. And there have also been times in my mothering that I have been invited to be courageous. I have two adventurous boys, and they're a little older now, but when they were in their preteens, we spent the day at Holiday World. Has anybody been to how many of y'all have been to Holiday World? Okay, so you know the excitement and the energy and the heat and all that goes with a wonderful day at Holiday World. Well, my husband, Rick, is particularly not excited about heights. So I was the designated parent to climb the water slide, the many stories of the water slide, and waiting in line to slide down the slide with my boys. So I grew up as a swimmer and a diver, and now in my adult life, I really don't have any feelings or thrill toward water. But I did this because my boys wanted to do that, and I felt a little courage that I could make it down the water slide, so we started walking up the stairs. Well, I'm the kind of person who I like to plan. So I'm watching as we're getting closer to how we line up and we get seated on the slide. I'm watching, I'm listening, I'm paying attention to how this is all going to go down. And we get to the very top, and we go and we take our positions. My boys go down first, and since I'm an extrovert, I'm ready to ask the attendant some questions. Well, I think he was ready to go on break. So I am watching. I know what I'm supposed to do. I sit down on the slide. I have my arms crossed. And by the time I get ready to say, okay, now what? He releases the bar and I'm on my way. Now, the launch wasn't the problem. The problem was I had no air in my lungs because I was talking to the attendant, ready to ask a question. That's where the problem came in. So I'm going, my adventure began, I'm going down the slide, and I have no air, and the water is rushing in, and about halfway down the slide, my bathing suit begins to twist in ways that it shouldn't. And so by some grace of God, I make it to the bottom, and I also make it to the bottom with both contacts still in my eyes. Now you're probably thinking, why did you go to a water park with contacts on? So I get to the bottom, and I make it to the side where I can eventually climb out of the slide. And I think to myself, this was courageous. Maybe not to the point of giving life, maybe to the point of death at some point down the slide. But courage comes in all kinds of forms. Sometimes it comes as adventure. Sometimes it comes very seriously. Sometimes it comes life-changing, transforming. But courage comes in many different ways and very particular to who you are and who you've been called to be as a mothering agent in the world. Mothering is making an impact. It's about becoming a change agent, and sometimes without knowing it. But we would be amiss if we didn't acknowledge that no mother is perfect. Mothers make mistakes. They fall short. They overcompensate. They overfunction. They get frustrated. They act harshly. And sometimes they fail to meet expectations. But I can almost guarantee most mothers try hard somewhere along the way to make a difference in a child's life for good. Now, you may recognize these words. I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most to grow, if we let them. And we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes the sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've ever been changed for the better? But because I knew you, I've been changed for good. In 2 Timothy, we hear, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind." For our mothers who have made an impact on our lives and given us a glimpse of what embodiment can look like in faith and courage, we are grateful and we celebrate. I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn. And because we knew them, we've been changed for good. Thank you, mothers. You make an impact. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.